In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. The book of Jeremiah was written in a time of crisis for the people of Judah, which was the southern kingdom of Israel. They were being overwhelmed by droughts and by hostile enemies. The Babylonians were perhaps the worst offenders, as they would be the ones to crush the city of Jerusalem and destroy the temple. Not only were the people suffering on the outside, but they were suffering on the inside as well. For they knew themselves to be a nation set apart by God. They had made a covenant with God, and God's promise was that God would act with mercy and fidelity. Israel's responsibility was to be obedient and faithful. But somehow the people of God developed spiritual amnesia, and over time they had forgotten who made them and who had brought them out of bondage. They were quick to remember their own deeds and acts, but failed to remember the mighty acts of the one true God. And they began to worship other gods. Those who went to the temple were known to only go through the motions. Their priests were no better, because they had become more interested in the offerings and their positions than with the care of God's people. When it was all said and done, the people of Judah had all become a stiff-necked and hard-hearted people. But there came among them the prophet Jeremiah, who served as a prophet to Judah. And Jeremiah was indeed troubled, for God saw all that was happening, and it was not good. Through Jeremiah, God gave warning after warning to turn back to God who made them, but only a few listened. Things would get worse before they got better unless Judah repented, turned from its wicked ways, or it would be destroyed. So what was Jeremiah to say this time in order to get their attention? God sent the prophet to observe a potter at work. "Come and go to the potter's house," said the Lord, "and there I will let you hear my words." Jeremiah did as he was told, and he watched the potter carefully. The potter was bent to the wheel, with hands pressing and shaping the clay. Spattered with clay, the potter worked and worked, but became frustrated. The clay had somehow become marred and defective. So the potter squashed the clay, but instead of tossing the lump into the garbage or into a corner, the potter found himself reworking it and shaping it into something as seemed good to him. It is at this point that Jeremiah took note that the work of the potter was similar to God's work, which began at the start of creation. He remembered how the Almighty Creator bent down and scooped up clay from the earth and formed Adam, and breathed life into the nostrils of the form that had been made in God's image and in God's likeness. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, as the psalmist said. And God loved what God's hand had made, And God has loved us ever since. As he watched, the word that came to Jeremiah was this: "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as this potter has done?" In other words, this is what I'm trying to do with the house of Israel. They are flawed and marred. I want to remake them if they will let me. Make them into the beautiful creation intended for them. But they would not listen. Verse 12 tells us their response. "We will follow our own plans, and each of us will act according to the stubbornness of our evil will." Wrong answer. The people who insisted on following their own plans came up against the plan of God. And so God allowed their destruction. Now, listen carefully. There have been those throughout the centuries, including today, quick to look at texts like this and see only warnings, judgment, and damnation. Bad things happen because you live this way. Bad things happen because you do this and that. Yet I hope that many of us realize and know that a good, kind, forgiving, and loving God outweighs the picture of a vengeful God. Amen. If we read the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament, we can see for ourselves how much God loved humankind. God forgave Israel. God forgave Judah. God gave chance after chance. Time and again, God sent prophet after prophet saying, "Return to me. Return to me." And in the fullness of God time, God even sent God's only son, our Savior Jesus Christ, because that is how much we are loved. From the beginning of life being breathed into us, we have had the choice between doing good and doing wrong. And here is where we differ from the clay pot that Jeremiah saw on that wheel. A pot, when it is carefully removed from its platform, gets fired in high heat and then is set. It is an inanimate object. It does not move. It has no control, no thoughts, no voice, and no emotion. It simply sits set in its form to be used or admired. We, on the other hand, can be shaped and molded, and we have an extra bonus. We have free will. Now, there are many people and things that influence how we live and how we behave. Our families, classmates, teachers, peers, co-workers, those in leadership, our circumstances. Watch TV, listen to the radio, read the newspaper or a magazine, search the internet, drive or walk down the street, go to the movies, the grocery store, come to church. What else? Who else are we influenced by? What else influences us by those, in addition to those things that I just mentioned? Anybody? What else influences us?
Family.
Family, the past. What else?
Mother.
Yes. Yes. Who else? What else?
The Lord.
The Lord, yes. Anybody else?
You.
Ourselves.
Ourselves, me. Yeah. And remember that our children, our teens, our young adults are influenced by the same things and more. Sometimes those things can influence us. That influence us can be for our good or against God's will. They all affect our choices. And we know that every day there are choices to be made. So how do we make the best choices? How can we create and instill a better way of solving our problems, healing our differences, stopping the violence on our streets, and putting a lid on every level of corruption? Because, sisters and brothers, it is time. It is time we must make a stand. Our city must take a stand. Our nation must take a stand. God created us to do good by each other, not the foolishness we see every day. The bad needs to take a back seat to the good that does exist in the world. And we know that good exists in the world. From the beginning, God intended the good for us. And the good news is that God remains faithful. God is good. All the time and all the time. God is good. It is God who knows us and shaped us best even before we were formed in our mother's wombs. The psalmist began this morning's psalm, "Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways. Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it all together. You press upon me behind and before and lay your hand upon me." Sisters and brothers, this is good news. And I'm so glad to know that God loves us all in spite of ourselves. In his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul wrote, "But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us.
Amen.
We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed.
Yeah.
Perplexed, but not driven to despair.
Amen.
Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed."
Amen.
The treasure that Paul speaks of is the power of God at work in our lives.
Amen.
As God called the people of Judah to change, we are reminded of God's call to us to return to him.
Amen.
For we are the clay made by the hands of the master potter. We are the clay jars that God uses, sometimes fragile and marred and nicked and perhaps scratched. We are not perfect, but God can still use us. Remember how the potter persisted at the wheel? He did not throw the clay away. He just kept on working and working and working until he got it right. In being faithful, we are to be open to God's hands constantly molding us, pressing us, shaping us so that we can be all that God means for us to be.
Amen.
His hands never tire. And he says, can I not do with you, O house of Israel, O my people, just as this potter has done? The potter's hand is upon us and this community. I pray that we continue to be open to what God will have us be. All God asks is that we remain faithful. Faithful in our mission to make disciples. Faithful to our becoming the beloved community. Faithful in loving, forgiving, and nurturing ourselves and our neighbor. And so we pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.